Thank you. Appreciate it very much. All right. Well, I want to say I sure enjoyed the testimony, Brother Elijah. That was so good. Just if we can understand who he is and who we are in him, that's what's going to make all the difference. So thank you for making that very clear. That was a help. It's been a great help, and I thank the Lord for that. And the song we just heard a moment ago, it's our prayer that even while you're here, this school only exists because of none other name, and that'd be his. It can't be any other name. It won't last if it's associated with any other name, because any other name is just temporary. But if it's his name, then it's eternal. And in fact, that's our theme this year. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And there's a lot of names under heaven. There's a lot of names, but there's none other name than the Lord Jesus Christ whereby we must be saved. And if we can really let that soak in and realize that there's not a plan B on salvation, there's only one plan, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those 8 billion people that Brother Sam preached about on yesterday morning, every one of them need to know and have the opportunity to hear about this man that we just heard about. That's why we're here. It really is. And may God help us to remain focused on him, because he alone can handle it, that's for sure. So thank you. I'm glad to get to have the opportunity to get to preach again. I've enjoyed college days so much. I thought about enrolling as a student again. I don't know. It's been enjoyable. Y'all have been a great group to have here. So let me ask you to turn to two places in your Bibles. First of all, we're going to go back to Hebrews 11. Asher was a real blessing last night, the message. I'll mention that again, but Hebrews 11. And then if you would, take the hangy-downy thing in your Bible, the ribbon, right? And mark Genesis chapter number 11. And we're going to look at Genesis 11 and 12 together here in just a few moments. And I'm going to, I know there's, you're going to be getting back on the road. By the way, we're going to be praying for you as you do. Some of you are, you got a long road ahead of you, you know, and divided up into a couple days. But at the same time, I don't want to sell short of what we are supposed to get out of this chapel time, for sure. But I do want to remember the 5 B's of public speaking. Be brief, brother, be brief. You know, something like that. Or for the preacher, be biblical, brother, be biblical. That'll help a lot of preaching. It really would. So Hebrews 11, and let's look at verse number 8, if you would, please. Hebrews 11 and verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, notice this, into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? Obeyed. That's what he did. That's what we heard Brother Elijah say just a moment ago. You just gotta know God and his will for your life and obey. That takes a lot of pressure off. Just obey. So that's what Abraham did. He obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Typical man right there, right? Most explorers were men because we don't ask for directions. We find stuff, right? So anyways, not knowing whither he went. But here's what I found in life. You don't have to know where. You don't have to know how. You don't even have to know why, as long as you know who. You don't have to have all the answers. Just know who. Yeah, he'll take care. You be the right kind of who, and he'll take care of the right where. You know. But Abraham, he had no idea whither he went. Verse 9, by faith, it says, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Heirs with him of the same promise. They dwelt in tabernacles. We've got dorms here. They lived in tents. They were heirs together of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations. Watch this. Whose builder and maker is God. Whose builder and maker is God. So with God's help, I'd like to preach here this morning about this, moving to the place of divine appointment. Moving to the place of divine appointment. Father, I want to pray that you bless and use your word. Thank you for the way you've spoken to our hearts already in the course of this college days. Thank you for the class time. Thank you for the interest. Lord, thank you for every pastor and youth pastor and other leaders that are here. Thank you, God, for every young man and young lady and every married couple for that matter as well that's here because you're working in their hearts and they're considering what they ought to do in obedience to you. So thank you for the example of Abraham here as we know him now. And Lord, what a work you did in his life. I pray that you'd speak to us now. Help us in understanding this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated and we'll go back to Genesis 11 and 12 just to be there. I believe if you've paid attention this week that you've been challenged through the preaching of God's word. Began on Wednesday night as Brother David Peters preached, making room for God's will rather than making excuses. Honestly, we could have had an invitation right there. And thank God that he's calling us to his will. What a privilege. And on Wednesday night, we looked at the fact that you only have a short time to make an eternal difference. You only have a short time. Don't overestimate how long you have on this earth. It really does go very, very quickly. We heard yesterday, cast your bread upon the waters and it will return to you after many days hence. And not only did we hear the message, but if you've known Brother Sam Davis in any length of time, you've seen the message that he's not holding back. He's given himself to this and just casting his life into the work. And may we follow that same example because he's worthy of it. And we wouldn't give him just a modified version of our life or a held back version of our life, but that we'd give him our whole life. I like what missionary said when he said, Jim Elliott said, live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Live to the hilt, to the max. Live it to the hilt every situation. In fact, with reckless abandonment. In fact, in Acts chapter 7, chapter number 15, it talks about these that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to do, is just give our lives in service unto him. And then Brother Asher last night, I appreciate the message as he talked about the equations of math and life, walking by faith. And boy, if you paid attention to some of those things, the if, then, you learned a lot right there. That's some good stuff, Brother Asher. Thank you so much for that. Walking by faith, one step at a time. And then last night, we heard about this. God has a purpose for your life, but there's an adversary that's not for it. As Brother Andrew preached, God has a purpose for your life, but there's an adversary that's not for it. And thus we need to have the trowel and we need to have the sword. And you need to be in dependence upon God and you need to do some things to protect your life and to have some boundaries in your life. That's so, so good. I appreciate that so much. And the emphasis on us depending on God and at the same time taking defense where we need to. It's just absolutely right on. So I hope in many ways that what we're going to do here this morning would just help each and every one that's here as a College Days guest. But I'm also preaching here this morning because I'm always mindful around College Days that this kind of marks the last little part of the semester for the students. And we've got a good graduating class. It's kind of a bittersweet time. They're about to go out, and at the same time they're about to go out. Did you follow me right there? It's been a joy and a delight, and so we still have. You still got to go to class the next few weeks, and you've got a ton of assignments to do because you didn't do them earlier. But I know that many of you are also praying about God's will for your life. And I'm glad that he's a God who can communicate with you. I'm glad that he can help you understand what you ought to do. I firmly believe that if you'll be sensitive to God's leadership, that God can lead you and guide you in the way that you're supposed to go. If the Bible says that we're to pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest, that indicates that he has a specific will for your life. And then he can guide you. You're not just supposed to stress yourself out and worry and get all worked up and nearly come to a place where you're just immobile. No, he's going to guide you step by step. And so you can trust him for that. But thank God he's a personal God. And he knows how to communicate. We just need to learn to listen. He's a God who speaks to us and can communicate with us. And he's a God that many say that he's not a God of the eye that we see, but he's a God of the ear that we can hear. We can learn to follow his will. And so I'm preaching to you something here this morning that I preached many years ago. And in fact, some of those that are our youth leaders now maybe even heard me preach even this particular passage here about moving to the place of divine appointment back when they were teenagers. And here they are like adult-like people. But I'm glad there's another generation that's coming on the scene that God also wants to move you into the place of divine appointment. The word move means that you're going from one place to another. It means that you're making progress. And so maybe you're here as a college days guest and maybe you're even a junior in high school or younger, and that's great. I'm glad that right now you're just considering what God might want you to do. And you're praying about that. And that may be as far as it goes, even that you're trying to stay sensitive to God's leadership and letting him speak in your heart. But maybe your next step is that you are going to enroll here, or you're going to take the next step, at least in doing the admissions deal, or you're going to go back home and you're going to seek some additional advice or some counsel from your parents or from your pastor. And I would really encourage that. That you would seek some guidance there. And in fact, listen, there's too many mistakes that you can make in life living it on your own. And God's given you some good godly people around you. Take full advantage of that. And don't just try to do it on your own, but let your pastor be your pastor. You say, well, I think he's too busy. Well, let him be the judge of that. You take advantage of the fact that you have a pastor or a youth pastor or a college and career director. I know there's some here that are in the college and career age, and I believe God can lead and guide your life. And I don't know what the next step may be. Maybe it would be continuing to seek him a little bit. And like we heard here just a moment ago, it's amazing how that the testimony is working so closely with the message here this morning. It's very encouraging. I know for sure this is what I'm supposed to preach to you, and I can't tell you what the next move is, but I do want to encourage you this, to move to the place of divine appointment. Yes, right. To the place of divine appointment and not the place of self appointment. Move to the place, take the steps, always be moving to the place of divine appointment. The place of by the divine, obviously I'm talking about God's appointment for your life. And let him be the one that would guide you and lead you into that. As we come here to Genesis chapter 11 and 12, as we think about these passages together, then we have really a contrast between two groups of people, if you allow me to preach two chapters rather succinctly. I didn't bring my hourglass, so I don't know how this is going to go, But anyways, let me just kind of get into that and to demonstrate that God chose a man named Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought him into a place, by the way, that is still God's place for the people of Israel. And God hasn't concluded his work for Israel. God still loves the people of Israel. And I pray that Israel would be turning to God. And so I thank God for what God did in the life of a man named Abram as he called him out. But you're here today, and this is not to be just a history lesson. This is to be for you to think about, okay, what is the place of divine appointment in my life? And I am not here today, please understand, I am not here today to tell you that Heartland Baptist Bible College is the place of divine appointment for your life. Only God can tell you that. But if God is putting that on your heart and mind, then I want to encourage you not to shy away from that, but that you take steps in that direction. And I'm telling you that on the authority of the Word of God and also countless examples of men and women that are here right now, some of whom were struggling when they were in college days. I was talking to Brother Gabe Lopez. Brother Gabe, where you at? Brother Gabe, just real quick, did he come to chapel today? Okay, very good. Yes, he did. Good choice, Brother Gabe. He's always here. But Brother Gabe, I'll never forget standing right here talking with Gabe Lopez in college days. And this is maybe 3 years ago, Brother Gabe. Is that about right? 3 years 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, somewhere right in there. He's from El Paso, Texas. His church is here right now, Hillcrest Baptist Church of El Paso. And I remember standing over there in that little corner of the auditorium, and I just could see it. I could sense it. I could feel it in Brother Gabe's life that he was in a struggle, and I really didn't think he was going to come here. But he did. And he gave testimony this morning, thanking God that God helped him to move here. And now he's got all kinds of friends, and he's got God's call. Anyways, I don't. This is not about Gabe Lopez. This is not. Sorry. This is about God's work in your life. In your life to move you from the place of self-appointment. See, that's why we struggle. That's why we struggle. That's why even going to a Bible college or, and by the way, hey, if God's calling you to be a teacher for His honor and glory. If He's calling you into the medical field, I know for sure He's not called me into the medical field. I know that I'm telling you, I verified that along the way. I told the class this morning, you know, my theme song should be, "When I See the Blood, I'll Pass Out Over You." Because I have, the last three times I've had blood drawn, I've passed out twice. So anyways, it is not a good record. So I know God hasn't called me into the medical field. But listen, if God's called you to the medical field, that's fantastic. Yeah. But let me say something to you right quick here. Listen, coming here for 1 year of Bible college is not going to be a waste of your time. Because listen, first of all, you are a Christian. You are a child of God who needs to know the Bible. And we're living in a day and time in the United States of America where people are less and less literate about the Bible. And they're living in great confusion. And they need to know a doctor. They need to know a nurse. They need to know a teacher. They need to know somebody that knows God that can help them through the confusing times in their life. And so even coming to Bible college for even 1 year could help you be a better mom, a better dad, a better teacher, a better deacon, a better trustee, a better missions committee person, whatever it may be. Brother Ryan Carroll's over here. Raise your hand, Brother Ryan. This is the day to show and tell all the student body, I guess. I don't know, but I asked Brother Ryan, what do you do in ministry? And he's a greeter, but here's how he said it. I'm a first impression specialist. I absolutely love it. A first impression specialist. Hey, listen, if the rest of your life you're going to stand at the doors of your church, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper than to live in the tents of wickedness. See, God is calling. God is working. It is not that, listen, we have enough people, Isabel Kuhn said, in this generation of men and women that can evangelize the unreached peoples of this earth. It is not God that does not call. It is man that does not respond. So you're either going to live in the land of self-appointment or you're going to live in the place of divine appointment. So I want to help you here this morning with the help of God to think about, okay, how do I get to the place of divine appointment? I can say to you with a clear heart, clear mind, I know I'm here where this is the place of divine appointment in my life. I'm convinced of it. I know it's where I'm supposed to be right now. If God calls me to the mission field within the next 5 to 10 years, I hope I'd have the good sense to say, yes, God, I'd want to go. I want to be where God wants me to be, and so should you. He's your God. He's the one that paid the price for you. But you can know and know for sure I'm in the place of divine appointment. How do you get there? How do you get there? How do you get to the place of divine appointment? Number one, you got to do this. You got to leave the place of self-appointment. You got to leave the place of self-appointment. Look at chapter 11. In chapter 11, you have this. Look at it. It's very interesting here as it says something. Hang on. And the whole earth was of one speech and one language and of one speech. And it came to pass that as they journeyed from the east, they what? That they what? They found. You know how a lot of people in your generation are living? Just by what they find. They found this guy. They found this girl. They found this interest. Hey, listen, you're either going to marry somebody that's of God's appointment or your appointment. It's either going to be a home that you build or one that God builds. Abraham left because God was bringing him in, and he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And you're either going to look for a life whose builder and maker is God, or you're going to look for a life whose builder and maker is you. And you're going to look for a young lady, if you're a young man, you're going to look for a young lady that God's brought into your life and he's going to do the building, or you're going to look for somebody that you're looking for. In the place, in the land of self-appointment. And I'll tell you where it ends up. I said, I'll tell you where it ends up. Confusion. Confusion. Literally, that's what happened here in Genesis chapter 11. They found a place and they said, go to now, let us build us a house. Okay, wait, let me read it like it is. Look at it now. It says, verse 3. They found this place in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now hang on. Here's you got to understand this. God told them after the flood, go out and replenish the earth. That means this. God's will was that they'd spread. Hang on, you got to get this now. They were to spread out over all the earth. But here's what they said. They found this plain in the land of Shinar. It's a flat place, and they thought, let's build. It's like in Iraq, Iran, that area. Very, very flat, kind of like West Oklahoma, West Texas, where if your dog runs away, you can run away, and you can see him watch it run away for 3 days. Like, man, there he goes. He's still going, okay? Shinar, that is flat land. So here's what they said in verse 3. Look at it now. It says, and they said to one another, go to, let us make us brick and burn them thoroughly. And had brick for stone and slime the head for mortar. And they said, go to, let us. You hear a lot of man in that? A lot of humanism in that? A lot of humanistic thinking in that? Okay, where's God in all of that? God had already spoke. God said, fill the earth, but they said, let us build us. Okay, look at the rest of it now in verse number 4. Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us what? A name. Let us make us a name. Let us make us a name. God's going to say to Abraham, I'm just going to tie it in right here because it probably fit the best. God says to Abraham, I'll make you a name. Look at chapter 12, all right? Everybody doing okay? Look at chapter 12, and look at verse number two. God has called him at verse 1, called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees to leave his father, leave his father's house and a land which I, and go to a land that I will show thee. Verse number 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and make what? Make thy name great. They said, let us go to and make us a name. God says to Abraham, you won't have to make yourself a name. I'll make a name for you. Which one do you want? Which one do you want? Do you want the responsibility for this, or do you want to trust what God's doing? So he says, back in chapter 11, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered, verse 4, lest we be what? Scattered abroad upon what? The face of the whole earth, which was actually what? God's will. Well, the building inspector came. Verse 5, the building inspector came and the Lord came down to see. Did you notice he had to come down to see what they were building so high? He came down to see what they were building up to heaven. The Bible says that he came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have one language. They begin to do, and nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down. Oh, mercy. Hang on now. Here they were saying, go to, let us. And now God says, let us. Do you want God working for you or against you? Do you want God working with you or against you? Here it is. God's saying, let us go down and inspect what they're doing. And basically, he shut the whole building program down. Look at verse 7. Let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the very next morning, one guy woke up and said, shalom. Another guy said, privet. Another guy said, hola. One other guy said, bonjour. Another guy said, ni hao. Ni hao. Another guy said, ni hao. One guy said, howdy, y'all. understand one another. They could not understand one another. Let us take a lesson right there, that when you get out of God's will, it brings confusion. When you get out of God's will, it leaves you in a place that He never intended for your life, and it brings confusion and disruption. Hey, I just want to call you here this morning. Don't live in the place of self-appointment. But we are naturally selfish. I used to play a game with the kids, the person I'm thinking of. Remember playing that game? And you go to describe somebody, and if they guess who you're talking about, then you get to go again. And it go kind of like this person I'm thinking of, wore camel's hair, ate wild locusts and honey, and preached with thunder in the wilderness. That was John the Baptist. So if you guess that, then you get to go again. Tyler was about 2 years old, and Tyler is his turn, and he was saying, the person I'm thinking of has blonde hair and blue eyes. He had blonde hair and blue eyes. And we said, oh man, who could it be? So finally we said, it's you, Tyler. He said, that's right. And so we got to go again. Here he went again. The person I'm thinking of has blonde hair and blue eyes. I kid you not, twice he did it. Actually, three times, the person I'm thinking of has blonde hair and blue eyes. You know, the person I'm most often thinking of has no hair and blue eyes. And you do the same thing. You may have tall hair, you may have brown eyes, you may have curly hair, you may have straight hair. You may, whatever. You are who you are. And the thing is, Brother Elijah, you can sit so focused on who you are and how people view you and what your identity is, and suddenly you can even take things like ministry and make it about yourself, and about sports and make it about yourself, and make it about relationships and make it about yourself. Go to now, let us. Sadly, if I could apply it to Heartland Baptist Bible College, some people never make it to the place of divine appointment because they're building their towers in the place of self-appointment. Who are you going to let build your life? Again, I'm not saying everybody here needs to come to Heartland. I'll be bold enough to say this, and this is not self-serving. I don't think it'll come across this way, but I think everybody here ought to be willing to. If this is a godly place, and I mean, it's not the only Bible college in America. I get that. I understand that. But if we're at all trying to honor the name that's above every name, and if we're trying to read the Bible and study the Bible and understand what God's will is for our life, and that is, I can tell you from my heart what I've seen in people's lives, that's really the essence of what's going on here. I mean, am I right, students? I mean, y'all are here. If I'm not telling the truth, and somebody right now just stand up and say, that's not right, you're just trying to do this or that. No, I think, I'm giving you a chance. Okay, good. But I think that they would identify, we're not doing it perfectly. We don't get it all right. We don't even always have the right kind of attitudes. Isn't that right? But we don't always have the right kind of, okay. We don't always have the right kind of attitudes, but we're endeavoring to do so, not for our namesake, but for His. And if at any time we ever get fixated on ourselves, then may God shut this place down. It's not worthy to be in existence. But if we are in place here for His namesake and His churches and His will, then everybody here ought to at least be willing to say, God, if you want me here, I'm willing to be here, and I will leave the land. I'll leave what I'm familiar with. I'll leave everything behind, and I don't have any idea. I have no clue as to how this is going to go, but I'm willing to come here if this is the place of divine appointment for my life. That's it. And then when you do that, dear friend, oh my soul, then if you do that, Gabe Lopez's of the world, then God will give you the right kind of friends around you and give you a name that is a respectable name and might even give you a girlfriend. Or if you're a young lady, might give you a young man. That's not about your identity. It's not everything in life. You can be single and still be fulfilled. Got a well over here, I'll take it. Well, I'm just saying, you don't know what God's going to do. You don't know what all God's will is. But here's what you can know. You can know Him. And I know I'm supposed to leave the place of self-appointment where I'm determining everything that I want to do and all that, but I can leave that land and I can go here to the place of divine appointment and I can follow God wherever he leads me. And then it's not up to me to figure it out, it's up to me to follow. But Ethan, are you ready? I didn't even talk to you about this, but when you were probably 8 years old, you followed me. You remember that? Man. It's neat what God does in somebody's life. Anyways, I'm okay. You good? Okay. So following God, if you'd allow me just to represent, I'm fall short entirely of who he is. But just for the sake of illustration, here's all you're supposed to do. Just follow. If he leads you here, then you follow. If he stops, you stop. If he turns this way, you follow. If he stops, you stop. If he goes this way, and he says, we're going to the platform, and he goes this way. Huh? You say, wait a minute, brother guys, you're mixed up. You said you're going to the platform. I did. And I turned this way. I'm fallible. God's not. When God tells you we're going to the platform, or as he did with Peter, as he said, get follow me. And he asked, who do men say that I am? And they gave all their answers. And then Peter, he asked him, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter got it right in Christology. He got it right in his Christology class. Jesus is the Messiah. He had it right. That goes on the fridge. And Jesus responded that that's exactly right. And I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to bleed. I'm going to be betrayed. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And Peter said, excuse me. Not so, Lord. You're going to rule. You're going to reign. We're going to get these filthy Romans out of here. He failed eschatology. You see what I'm saying? Jesus says, I'm going to the kingdom, but I'm going by way of the cross. And Peter said, not so, Lord. You ever correct God? Hey, if he tells you that he's going to go there, then you just need to trust him. And however long it takes him to get there, then all your responsibility to do is, even when you follow me. No matter how long it takes him to get there, if he goes real fast, then you follow him. If he stops, sometimes God goes real slow, and then it speeds up, and then you better be ready. Are you following me? Better yet, are you following him? Because even if it takes him a long time to get you where you thought he was leading you, eventually he can bring you there and bring you to a place where you can preach the word. Lord, help us over here. That's great. I'll lead the way. That's good. But your time's coming, and it may be sooner than later.
Yes, sir.
It's the place of divine appointment. Thank you, Ethan. Good job. Appreciate it. Little flashback. Who are you following? Does your social media reflect Babel? Or does it reflect the place of divine appointment? Is your relationship Babylonish? Huh? Or is this a God-ordained person in your life? Students, you got some big decisions ahead of you, don't you? What are you going to do this summer? What are you going to do once you graduate? Who are you going to marry? Are you? These are questions known only to God. But you've got access to Him. And He can lead you. If you'll be done with the place of self-appointment, move to the place of divine appointment. Pastors, youth pastors, missionaries, full-time Christian workers, I've learned I'm never at a place where I don't need this. Need to be sensitive to when God says it's time to stay. When God brought him to the land of divine appointment, the Canaanites were in the land. That means there is opposition. Being in God's will doesn't mean it's going to be real smooth. In fact, you come to Bible college, listen, you come to Bible college, if this is the place of divine appointment for your life, that's probably where it's going to get real hard. And there's some Canaanites in the land. Not everybody here is fully sanctified. Canaanites in the land. Another thing I saw in chapter 12 is a famine came. Like right there in the middle of God's will, a famine came. But here's what I saw. In Hebrews 11, it says that he obeyed and he sojourned. But in chapter 12, he went down to Egypt to a place of self-appointment. And he came out of there by the grace of God. But he came out of there with some baggage and a girl named Hagar. Rather than waiting on God, because God seemed to go very slow over these 25 years of waiting for a little baby boy, Sarah and Abram said, well, just take Hagar and have a child by her. And Ishmael came into the race, and there's been problems ever since. How long is it going to take you down in Egypt to figure out that it's not worth it? You can get out of God's will. You can turn your back on God and everything that He said, but you can't do it without consequences. But I want to end with this. God will not lead you to a place that won't end up in a blessing. But you got to leave the place of self-appointment to follow God wherever and however He would lead you. Let's stand together.